From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, halibut fishermen get a boost in their catch limit this year. The great winter crime spree at the Dillingham PAF boatyard has been solved. And seining for pollock, all coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
The International Pacific Halibut Commission Friday voted to recommend a 1.7 million pound increase in the coastwide catch of halibut. The joint U.S. and Canadian body oversees management of the highly prized bottom fish from California all the way up here to Alaska. The commission held its annual meeting in Vancouver, British Columbia last week. The IPHC voted for a coastwide catch for commercial and charter fisheries of 29.2 million pounds, up from last year's 27.5 million pounds. National Marine Fisheries Service Assistant Administrator for Fisheries Eileen Sobeck wrote to the commission seeking a higher catch limit for the longline fleet in the Bering Sea. She highlighted the importance of the directed fishery to residents and businesses, along with efforts to reduce bycatch by other fishing vessels. The commission voted to recommend the same level for Area 4, the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands, as last year. For Southeast Area 2C, the commission approved a combined commercial and charter catch of 4.65 million pounds, an increase from last year of almost 500,000 pounds. For the Central Gulf, Area 3A, the commission recommended a combined commercial and charter limit of 10.1 million pounds. That's also an increase from last year of over 600,000 pounds. The commission also adopted catch share plans for Southeast and the Central Gulf that impact the number and size of halibut that charter anglers can keep. Area 2B, British Columbia, was approved for just over 7 million pounds, also an increase from last year's catch. Commissioners approved a start date of March 14th and an end date of November 7th. Commissioner Jim Balsinger of Alaska was appointed chair for the next 2 years. The commission's next annual meeting is in Juneau, 1 year from now.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Kodiak Area Native Association's Tobacco Prevention and Education Program. CANA believes everyone has the right to breathe smoke-free air. More information is available at 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
Two of four men believed to be responsible for recent break-ins at the PAF boatyard in Dillingham were arrested on Tuesday. 22-year-old Kyle Ree was charged with misdemeanor theft and trespassing, and 25-year-old Jesse Young is facing a felony theft charge as well as misdemeanor theft and trespassing. The police are still investigating the involvement of a third man, and a fourth is a minor whose name was not released. Police Chief Dan Pascarello says the break-ins were reported between mid-December and mid-January.
The PAF watchman called us on six separate occasions to report that during his rounds he had discovered fishing vessels broken into.
It's believed that at least 24 vessels were broken into during those six burglaries. Pascarello says the men were entering through the locked gate at the entrance of the PAF yard. The men were also captured on the PAF surveillance cameras, though the chief says the footage of the break-ins wasn't necessarily helpful.
Most of them were during the hours of darkness, and since it's cold, people were bundled up. So it took us a while to find footage of an individual that we could identify.
Police eventually did identify one of the men, and Pascarello says he gave up the other three upon questioning. They eventually served a warrant and were able to recover some of the stolen items.
The individuals charged were mainly after food, cigarettes, consumable items such as those. We recovered numerous DVDs, tools, knives, and other assorted items that had fishing vessels' names written on them.
A .44 Magnum Ruger handgun was recovered, which prompted the felony theft charge. Additionally, Pascarello says a 12-gauge stainless steel shotgun has not yet been recovered. Other items might be listed as missing closer to the fishing season.
We anticipate that come summertime when fishermen return, we'll learn that other items have turned up missing.
Young and Ray were arraigned on their charges Wednesday in court. During their arraignment, both young men told the court they were living in an apartment with no heat or electricity, and both said they were unemployed. Both appeared eager to take responsibility for their actions.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Since December, a few intrepid Cook Inlet fishermen have been trying something new. They've been fishing for pollock in Cook Inlet using seine gear. It's an experiment to determine the viability of establishing a new fishery in the area. KBBI's Shady Grove Oliver spent a whole day aboard the fishing vessel Sea Prince to see how the experiment is working so far.
We set out from the Homer Harbor before sunrise. The crew of the 58-foot Sea Prince organizes gear on deck under a floodlight as we chug into Kachemak Bay. In the wheelhouse, Captain Rob Nelson is preparing for the first set. He's not totally sure where or when to set the net.
It'd be great if we kind of knew exactly what to expect and, you know, and how to gear up and everything, but somebody's got to go first, I guess.
The Sea Prince and one other vessel, the Silver Streak, are the only two boats that have gone out so far. It is a risky venture, after all, to put time and money into something that might not pan out. And that's the bare bones of this experimental fishery, to test the waters for potential and figure out the particulars along the way. That's one of the reasons Elisa Russ is on board today. She's an assistant area management biologist for Fish and Game.
Definitely that has been the impetus with having every single trip observed with a Department of Fish and Game observer on board to monitor the bycatch as well as the effectiveness of the gear and how the fishery is prosecuting.
Chinook bycatch has been a huge concern for fishermen and biologists alike. Since the fishery started in December, there have been 45 kings caught. Russ says all but two were released unharmed, and those didn't go to waste.
And so any that are caught and killed, which as I said was two, then I'm processing for sampling and taking genetic information from, and then I've been donating them to the Homer Food Bank.
The majority of the bycatch has been herring, jellyfish, and the occasional Pacific cod, and numbers are lower than initially expected. Captain Nelson says the other thing that's been lower than expected is the pollock.
The fish are in the deep, you know, they're out this time of year, they're out in the, you know, out in the deep hole, so it's kind of out of our reach unless they really come up. You know, so you can see the potential, you know, with a little deeper net. You could go out and fish, you know, right out in the middle and probably catch some real volume doing that.
The Sea Prince can fish down to about 150 feet, whereas the Silver Streak is limited to 75 feet. And so far, the numbers reflect the net size. During the seven trips the boats completed in December, the Sea Prince caught more than 10 times the amount of pollock as the Silver Streak, and the combined total of 11,400 pounds was still only a fraction of the 220,000-pound GHL for 2014. To date, just over 30,000 pounds have been caught total. Captain Nelson says there is good biomass, but lots of other contributing factors have come into play, like tides, time of day, temperature, and depth. But he says the biggest challenge so far has actually been what to do with the fish once it's caught.
Just started slower, you know. It's one of those things we figured we were going to be kind of, you know, hot and heavy into it at the beginning. And then market-wise, it's just kind of, you know, that's kind of been a little slow.
They really need to diversify who they've been selling to because the markets have been so slim in the fall. So I think they're hoping that with the opening of the trawl pollock fisheries, the big fisheries in the state for pollock, this will hopefully allow them more options for where to sell their fish. You know, when processors are buying larger volume from the pollock trawl fleet, that they can also perhaps sell a higher volume with maybe less restrictions. I'm not sure if that's how it will pan out.
The majority has gone to the bait market at 30 to 40 cents a pound, and he's sold some to the South Korean fresh market as well. Nelson plans to deliver today's catch to the auction block in Homer. In the 10 hours we're out fishing, they catch a grand total of 3,872 pounds. It's not the most they've done, and not the least. With the sun well below the horizon, the Sea Prince stows its gear and heads back to town.
We're going to go, we'll pull over to the dock where they're going to, they'll unload us there, and we'll just crane up the totes. And then, they'll take them from there over to the facility and weigh them and everything, and we'll go from there, and then we'll just go tie up.
We head inside a warehouse where people are busy opening up the totes and throwing fish. There's also a surprise visitor. Beaver Nelson is the captain's father, who's come to see how his son fared today. He also sits on the Gulf of Alaska Pollock Work Group. It was created to stimulate discussion about opening state waters to seining for the species. Pollock is caught predominantly in the federal trawl fisheries, but he says recently there's been interest in new avenues.
And there's other areas, Sandpoint, Kodiak, and King Cove, those areas are all interested in possibly seining for pollock also. So this fishery is basically to determine if seining is a feasible way to capture pollock other than trawling, and a safer way, possibly with much less bycatch than trawling would involve. So
he says not only would it maximize use of a state resource, it would open up opportunities for fishermen concerned with the turn toward more restricted IFQ-type fisheries.
If we had a state allocation, it wouldn't be a IFQ thing. It would be an allocation towards open to entry fishery to anyone who had a say and wanted to go try it could go do it.
He says if the data collected during these initial trips is positive, he could see a fishery coming to fruition. And that data is the focus of biologist Elisa Russ's last task of the evening. She heads over to a metal table, pulls out some pollock, a ruler, and a scale. She sticks the hook end of a scale through one of the heads.
I am sampling the pollock, so I'm going to do a random sample of 50 pollock from the catch today, now that it's all mixed up. And on all these fish, I'm going to take a length, a weight, I'm going to take the sex, the maturity condition, so if it's a juvenile or if it is sexually mature, and then where it's at in its reproductive cycle.
Then she pulls out a knife, swings it, and chops open the fish.
I take out the pair of sagittal otoliths from these fish, and that's their ear bones, and then we can tell their age from them. So they're kind of like a tree. They have rings on them, and then we break them, burn them, and cut them in half, toast them in an oven, and then that gives some contrast to the annuli, the age rings, and then age them.
This sampling will establish baseline data for the fishery. It will be taken into consideration by Fish and Game, the Board of Fish, and other stakeholders in determining where to go from here. So all in all, there's still a lot up in the air. There are a lot of unknowns, and it's still a risk. But Captain Rob Nelson says it's worth it.
Might not even be a profitable venture the first year, but at least, you know, it'll be a start, and you got to start somewhere, and we'll know where to go from here. But the first thing is to show that it can be done.
He and other fishermen have until the end of February to do just that. In Homer, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvests for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KFSK's Joe Vicknicki in Petersburg, KDLG's Dave Benninger in Dillingham, and KBBI's Shady Grove Oliver in Homer. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.